Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the TV show is a G7 summit, we're a local parish council meeting. Shout out Jackie Weaver.
R.I.P.
Oh, no, not yet.
Queenie.
Not yet.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
Yeah. Queenie just says that after everyone's name. How is everyone?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm tipped up. I've done a Jack and I've gone to a different country.
You've gone to Canada?
I'm in Malta.
G7 summit?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the opposite. I'm actually setting up the Maltese. Have I got news for you?
Oh, yeah.
But it's just me in a room at the moment.
I think it would be quite bleak, the Maltese. Have I got news for you, isn't it? Quite, yeah.
I think it would be fairly censored.
Yeah. Not great with journalists, are they?
No.
No.
I won't tell you about Maltese politics. Well, I will tell you, I see your chocolate hummus, Jack, from New York.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And I raise you the Pope-themed bin bags.
Oh my God. Wait, hold on. Okay, because you sent this picture to us in a week, right?
Yeah.
But I just assumed the label was incorrectly put with a picture of the Pope.
No.
What was the vibe?
It's a commemorative Pope Francis metal tin containing disposable bin bags.
Holy crap.
Very good.
Really good. Really good. Every time you take the rubbish out and put a new bag in, you have to like release some white smoke.
Yeah.
And also, if some bin juice leaks out of it, that is just God's plan. Let it be.
Really strong, really strong. Who knew the Pope bin material would be so good?
And that's our time. Thank you for listening to the news this week.
I suppose if we've put it off long enough, we should probably get into round one. And the big story this week is, of course, Israel-Iran. Conflict is spreading further across the Middle East. Bad news for the region, but good news for world leaders who now have more places to bury their head in the sand. Jack, I remember us sat in the Hignafu producer's office the day after the horrific 7th October attacks that have kicked this whole latest round of attacks and war off. We were discussing what to do and how to tackle it. How would you go about covering Israel-Iran now if you were making the show this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think we might have sort of touched on it before, but it's like, I think the situation itself is pretty bleak.
Mm.
So you don't really talk about the sort of deaths as much or like the kind of actual civilian stuff. It's like a couple of degrees of separation. Yeah. So like when we did the October 7th stuff, we didn't really talk about it initially because it was just horrendous.
Yeah.
But then when politicians start getting involved and there's a lot of posturing, which has already happened with like the G7, like it's kind of perfectly placed to kind of see this way of them trying to, it's almost like having like six farmers trying to herd this one massive pig into the sort of pen where they want the right stuff to be happening.
Wait, so Trump is the pig?
Trump is the pig.
In that analogy? Yeah.
Is Canada the pen?
It's just shepherding away from a big nuclear button, essentially. I think that's the main thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I totally get what you're saying about they're trying to find degrees of separation, because did you guys see about this, which I think is something we potentially talk about on the show, how a lot of people knew that Israel were going to launch attacks on Iran and how they knew America knew? Have you guys seen this at all?
I haven't, no.
There were some telltale signs in Washington.
I did see this.
Please.
Is it a food that I don't like?
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yes, it is, unfortunately.
It's about the pizza that is getting ordered into the Pentagon. If there's lots of pizza getting ordered in, then it means something's going down geopolitically. Is that right?
Is that because they're celebrating? Because that's...
I,
horrific way to learn about World War III.
No, working overnight, right?
I mean, according to The Guardian, it's a spike in pizza deliveries into the Pentagon combined with, and this is a quote, low attendance at the gay bars in the area. So
no way.
So I guess only the pizza crusts were getting stuffed in Washington that night.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow.
We're not even 5 minutes in.
Holy mother.
I guess this sort of thing is, as you're saying, an accessible way to approach military attacks between countries is we're going like, what's the funny angle?
Yeah, and like a couple of degrees of separation removed. And I was gonna say, who doesn't like pizza? But the answer is Emerald. So
sorry.
I mean, the only thing I would potentially, and it's close, it's borderline, but I don't know if you saw again, but the new Iranian defense commander was killed today.
Mm.
And he only just stepped up to replace the guy who was killed last week. Yeah. So you sort of think in that meeting where someone's like, so who wants this dude to step up and take on that role? They're all sort of shoving each other forward and being like, oh, I don't know, maybe does Dave want to do it? Dave to do it, you know.
Sort of like the next Watford manager or something, or being Home Secretary. It's like,
I think the Iranian defense commander is very similar to the Watford manager. I agree.
Emerald, please save us. You're our resident you're our resident comedy writer in situ. Yes. Where are you finding the funny in what's been a very bleak news week?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's fairly hard, but I guess as always, the odd or funny details are like how the different big political leaders and their egos rub up against each other. Sorry for that mental image there.
Mm, that's horrible. But
I guess, yeah, in that respect, Jack was talking about the G7. I feel like the G7 and how all the different egos are clashing there is kind of interesting. Like, I feel like Trump has turned it into a kind of like gossipy sleepover is my take on it.
I know what you mean. It is a gossipy sleepover, but I don't think it's just Trump, because there was that video, I don't know if you saw it, and we probably would show it, of Emmanuel Macron talking to George Maloney. And like, they're doing the footballer thing of like covering their mouths, where they're definitely just saying, what did you have for dinner last night? Yeah, you're going to get the fish. You're going to get the fish. Yeah. But like, still covering the music. And she did the eye roll. She's like so expressive, George Maloney. You sort of think it looks like they're saying something about Trump while he's sort of sat there. And he won't like that. You can imagine it being sort of playgrounded, you know.
Trump's obsession at the G7 seems to have been about getting Putin back in on the action. Putin should have been invited to this one.
Peace negotiator Vladimir Putin.
No, he said, I can't keep up with it. It's like Love Island.
No, he said Putin speaks to me. He doesn't speak to anybody else.
They're exclusive.
He said. So yeah, we get it, Donald. You do have a best friend. He just goes to a different geopolitical conference than one we go to.
You wouldn't know him.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see, like, I've never seen it before, but they keep on calling G7 now. The papers keep on calling it G6+1. I think explains why Trump left early. Because he left early, didn't he?
Because he can't do the maths.
It's too complex a math for him, man. He cannot understand it. He does not like it. So he's like, I'm getting out of there.
Yeah. It is a lot, though, because you get G7, there's G8, G20, G90210.
Like a G6, yeah.
That's my favourite.
My other theory about why Trump left early, I think it was because he was meant to do in-person meetings with Zelensky and Steinbaum.
It was weird, wasn't it? Because he said, I'm working on something bigger than a ceasefire.
Yeah.
And you think, in Trump's world, what is that?
Money.
Listen, he launched a mobile phone contract yesterday. Mm. Trump Mobile.
Oh.
So maybe he's got to work on that. You never know.
Going with my sleepover theme, I just wondered if, like, he wets the bed so he doesn't want the rest to know. So he's gone back home and left the sleepover early.
Yeah, but he does that on purpose, doesn't he? Then that pays a lot of money.
that's so true.
Yeah, that's what caused him all that problem in Moscow. off the back of that, I dread to ask this, Queenie, but are there any pictures from the G7 that have caught your eye?
I think everyone knows what we're talking about here. There was, if anyone missed it, Trump and Starmer signed a trade agreement, and there was a very nice photo up there, which is like a Renaissance painting, a modern day one, where Trump and Starmer have signed this agreement and Trump's holding some papers and he's dropped them, and Starmer's sort of like crouching as though he's shitting at a campsite. to pick them up. Is that colourful enough, like imagery wise?
He does have this. Have you ever looked at a dog when it's taking a dump and they have that like eternal sadness in their eyes? He does.
Yeah, and
like,
they have to look at you because they're really scared because they're very vulnerable like the same in that thing. Moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to find Laura Koonsberg. I think right wingers think Starmer looks like a sort of snivelling cuck and Trump kind of dropped him deliberately, maybe. It's the conspiracy theory. And centrists think largely the same. And then leftists are like, don't really care.
Snivelling cuck is such an amazing sentence.
Imagine using that on the show and Ian's reaction to what?
Yeah.
What exactly is a snivelling cuck? Yeah.
It sounds like a Harry Potter Quidditch role.
Harry Potter and the snivelling cuck.
Yeah. And for those listening who don't know what that word is, just go about your life without knowing. Yeah. It's for the best. Don't Google it.
If you've
it.
Ever been in any travel lodge, it. There's a reason there's an armchair facing the bed. Yeah. Anyway, I personally would pick up the papers.
Yeah, who wouldn't? You'd be a psychopath if you didn't.
But isn't that an incredible summing up of like how Trump, like there is a ladies and gentlemen's agreement in world politics of how people behave. And he's basically come in and gone, nah, fuck off. You're all pussies. Yeah. And that is the ultimate embodiment of that, because he's basically like, yeah, I'm not going to pick them up. You pick them up. I don't give a shit.
So Trump was talking about their special relationship and he said,
special relationship, all right.
The UK is very well protected. You know why? Because I like them. That's their ultimate protection. And I can't help but hear that as like a period product advert. So like a woman rollerblading around, she turns to camera and she's like, because I like them. That's the ultimate protection.
Are you saying Keir Starmer is Trump's tampon?
I guess so.
On the subject of trade agreements.
Bit of fun.
Keeping it light. Obviously, this is the second one. You wait for a couple of trade agreements, then two come along at once because Starmer's redone Brexit. But have you seen what his Brexit deal has been branded this week? Have you seen this?
His Brexit, the EU
Brexit.
One?
Brexit.
I mean, I think people have called it that, but it's not new. Tory MP Richard Holden has labelled it the smoky bacon surrender. Because crisp companies are upset because now British crisps use a certain type of smoked flavouring. They're not going to be allowed in the EU under Keir Starmer's New Deal. So all the British crisp companies who make smoky bacon crisps are going to have to change their recipes.
If that's the one thing we have to kind of concede over.
Then I'm out.
Yeah.
No way we should be doing this deal because I want my crisps smoky and that's all I really care about.
I mean, that's basically what Nigel Farage jumped on the bandwagon and basically said.
What? Nigel Farage jumped on the bandwagon?
Who'd have believed it? It was either that or answer his constituents' problems. And he said, you have to ask what's next. Change the way we smoke our kippers.
Because he lives in 1950s, yeah.
I know.
He lives in a Beano magazine. Yeah.
Going back to Trump. Dropping those papers. He is worryingly impossible to predict, isn't he? Like, we don't really know where this is going to go.
It's that thing of, like, he says one thing and does the other.
Yeah.
Starmer has had to keep on telling reports today to say, I don't think you should read into anything about an American attack being imminent. So he keeps on pushing this thing to say it's not going to happen. And you think, well, what could people possibly be reading into other than the fact that Trump's held a Situation Room meeting? And he's telling residents to evacuate Tehran.
And he's explicitly tweeting something's going to happen.
And he's also told everyone at the G7 that he definitely wouldn't do it, which is obviously a sign which is terrible. And the German Chancellor said that he is going to do it.
And the pizza.
Literally the pizza. So it's like all of these things. It's like, but Starmer's like, yeah, honestly, he promised us at dinner.
He really leans into Emerald's teenage girl sleepover thing. He was like... So he said he's not going to do it. But then like the German Chancellor, he told me he's definitely going to do it. So he probably is going to do it.
It's honestly insulting to teenage girls.
I know. It actually is. They'd be better off running the country.
Yeah, big time.
So he's done his military parades, impressed the whole world with that show of power. Like, wow. I mean, if you're worried about the US Army, then you're going to be absolutely cacking yourself now because, man, those guys in those 1700s outfits were... pretty bloody scary.
The squeaky ass wheels.
Oh, the rusty tank just going.
It was almost like someone put that over the footage. That's how comical it was.
So just a reminder, so this is the parade that Trump's been going on about basically since he came to power. He's seen Kim Jong-un. He's seen the ones they have in Russia, these military parades. He's managed to get everyone to agree to do. He's probably given up a lot of political favours to make it happen. And it's coincided with his birthday. And basically, it was complete shit.
My favourite was the soldiers carrying drones, because there must be some rule about air traffic.
Yeah,
so they couldn't actually fly them. So they were just sort of like, just holding them. which is like...
That's not the point of a drone.
It is the sort of like, I could do a cartwheel if I really wanted, but I'm not going to.
Apparently the vehicles that they were like parading along that road were like too heavy for what that road can cope with. So apparently the parade cost 45 million and 16 million of that was earmarked for road repairs.
Get Rod Stewart in there.
Oh yes, true.
He's fixing them potholes immediately.
Did you see the robot dogs? Robot dogs.
No, yeah. What?
Quite cool until it sort of pans out and you have the wide shot of the person who's walking behind them with the remote control and you're like...
Holding a lead.
Yeah. But yes. It was funny as well. They had a good video of like commentary, typical American commentary where they're like, standard walking speed of 2 miles per hour. And you're like, okay. It's like, yeah. And they're working towards a 6.7 mile per hour sprint. And you're like, what are they trying to, are we supposed to be impressed by that?
The tumbleweeds are rolling past.
They are working towards.
That was actually part of the parade, the tumbleweed.
The tumbleweed.
The miniature tumbleweed. Yeah.
Atmospheric.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for round two now, where I've asked each of you to bring in a story from the past week that you think would work best for round two of the TV show. Emerald, you're up first. What have you got for us this week?
Fingers crossed for a creepy house.
You know what? It is about an old house. I didn't even realise. Oh, God. I've been slightly losing the plot because I've become obsessed with a story about Parliament's new £10 million front door that doesn't work properly.
Great.
So they've been installing this door into the House of Lords for a couple of years now. A couple of years for one door. Mm. When it was approved, it was expected to cost around £6 million. But the project's still unfinished and the cost has ballooned to 9.6 million. And the entrance still requires a staff member to be there 24/7 to press a button to open the door. So I think we found the one job that is safe from the AI revolution, this man pushing the door.
That person's doing more work than anyone in the House of Lords, first of all. But
I think you're probably right. He probably doesn't press it very often, to be honest. But it was first going to be 6.1 million, perfully fine and acceptable. But there have been a bunch of issues, like some strange buried historic vaults have caused an issue with the door.
Right.
Apparently rescheduling due to unplanned ceremonial events. So maybe David Cameron's insisting that a red carpet's rolled out or something. That gets in the way of them fitting this door.
Wait, £6.1 million is insane. Because it's like a... Is it? Are we talking like a big old front entrance, basically? Is that what it is?
Like it's a fairly big door from pictures. It didn't blow me away.
It's not massive.
They got two quotes, and one was £500, but then Michelle Moan said she knew this guy, who's also her husband, who could do it for 6.1, so...
Yeah,
it's absolutely outrageous.
So based on this story, I've come up with a very fun game for you guys. Are you ready for
it?
Yes.
Okay. This game is called Mordor.
Oh, there's music.
Or Mordor.
Oh my God. Is this Lord of the Rings themed?
Yeah,
Mike is losing his tiny mind.
This is genuinely the best thing that's ever happened.
I think you and Queenie are going to love it. It's called Mordor or Mordor. Essentially, you need to decide whether the fact I'm saying applies to Mordor, the location in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, or if it's Mordor facts about this £10 million door that doesn't work.
Genuinely, we can sack off the rest of the pod. I will do this all night. This is incredible.
I'm so excited because I cannot see in my head the Venn diagram where these two things meet in any way.
I'm currently recalibrating how much I want to reveal that I know about Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God. Yeah. Please temper your expectations. It's not a very in-depth quiz.
So it's like watching Rings of Power. That's what you've got to think of, right? Because it's going to be shite compared to the original.
We've come for Two Towers and we're getting Rings of Power.
Oh, no, not your game. Not your game. Sorry. That makes it... Sorry. My anger at Rings of Power just suddenly spiked. We don't need to get into it, but... I'm sorry.
A real glimpse into Jack's teaching techniques there of how he'd really enthuse the young people with their presentations.
I'm actually really excited about your game. Please don't be. Flash of anger.
Okay, I just need a simple answer. Is it Mordor or Mordor? Okay, it's roughly rectangular in shape.
These could be both.
Mordor is roughly rectangular in shape.
Yeah, it's more square, isn't it?
I think because I think if you think about how far Mount Doom is from Sauron's
I just need
tower.
An answer. Mordor or Mordor? Come on, guys.
The door one, the actual door.
I'm going to say the Lord of the Rings one.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
Well done, guys. Queenie and Mike. It's Mordor, the location, because the door in the Houses of Parliament has a kind of pointy arch. But from my research online, Mordor, the location, is roughly rectangular in shape.
This is incredible.
Yeah, I'm loving this.
You guys aren't playing it right. You just need to say Mordor or Mordor. Okay, that's the only answer I want from you.
Is this how we finally break Emerald? Like the nicest person in the world.
I think it's happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'm locked in.
Mordor or Mordor? Forsyth of Drumleen doesn't like it.
That so could be a House of Lords person.
I think that's House of Lords, so I'm going to say door.
Jack, you need to say Mordor or Mordor? Mordor. Queenie, I'm going to say you're right on this one.
Oh, thank you.
You're correct. It's Mordor, as in the door to the House of Lords.
That's what I said, and I made a joke about being on the side.
Emerald, I respect your format, but I will say I think we have found a slight flaw with it.
I think it's not a flaw, it's part of the design.
More flaw, no.
Oh, my God. How dare you? Lord Forsyth of Drumleen, who served as a minister in John Major's cabinet, said about the door, "It's a complete white elephant and a disaster." So that was about the door. Mordor. Yeah. Okay, final question. Mordor or Mordor?
Wait, what's it called? What's the game called?
Fucking hell.
This game's genuinely longer than the director's cut of Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Mordor or Mordor contains at least one Dark Lord.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, hold on a second.
I'm going to say Mordor.
I'm going to say Mordor and Mordor.
Mike is correct, you guys. It's Mordor and Mordor.
Wow.
Because obviously one contains Sauron and the other contains Michael Gove. So, well done, guys. I hope you had fun.
Nice.
I think we had more fun than you did, but thank you, Emerald. That was brilliant. Honestly, I've done it.
Thank you so much.
Queenie, top
that. Oh, God. I can't. This is not fair. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the story is that Uri Geller, the self-proclaimed psychic, known for spoon bending, has taken full credit for stopping the Madeleine Freedom Flotilla from reaching Gaza.
Oh my God.
By sabotaging the ship's navigation systems with his mind.
But wait a sec.
Well, they got there.
Yeah, and the Israeli government knew where they were, so they didn't need to be put off.
So,
of course.
The ship Madeleine on its way to Gaza with humanitarian aid and with Greta Thunberg in the crew accuses Israel of having sabotaged their GPS. But the illusionist now takes responsibility. He said, "I stopped the ship's navigation system. I used my mind power to mess with your boat."
So Uri Geller is against aid going into Gaza. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Cool, man.
So Uri Geller does this through so-called telepathy, a method he compares to a drone pilot's work, with the difference being that he doesn't need a computer or a control stick. So he said, "My mind is a control stick. I can navigate my mind to do what I want."
I'd say the thing about Uri Geller, right, is that he's someone who loves to stick his name in whatever's going on to get some kind of publicity. Mm-hmm. Just Googling Uri Geller, which actually is a search I've done many, many times in my search history. It comes up with Uri Geller returns library book 47 years late. And you're like, cool, man, that's a great way to get in the papers. Or him saying, Uri Geller answers call for weirdos to apply for jobs in number 10. So he's kind of placed himself in many kind of things that we would have talked about, because a library book being returned 47 years late is a classic. Have I got news for you? Mm-hmm. Missing words.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we better move on because it's time for Queenie's game of Uri Geller or Monica Geller. So I've seen you've got some music lined up.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Queenie. Right. I enjoyed that. Always good to see Uri being brought into the show. Jack, what is your story this week?
You guys might have seen this video, but it's a couple who were in an Italian museum and they managed to break this crystal-covered chair that was Italian museum. And I'm a simple man, right? My story last week was because of a picture that I liked. This was a video I thought was very funny and we play it in. But essentially, on the video, there's a couple, and the woman in the couple, she like hovers over this chair that's kind of on a plinth, like as if she's sitting in it. And the guy's taking a photo. Then the man goes to like hover over the chair. But the woman is taking a photo and she takes a while to take the photo. And I'm going to say this guy is not peak physical fitness at that moment.
That's being and kind.
He tries to readjust himself, and in doing so, he slips backwards and just absolutely crushes the chair. It's like a comedy level of destroying the chair.
And then they flee the scene.
Yeah.
That's the best. A sit and run.
That's amazing.
So they've released this footage as a kind of thing to say, hey, look, be careful in your art galleries. It's by Italian artist Nicola Bolla. It's covered in hundreds of Swarovski crystals. But like, as someone pointed out from the museum, it looks sturdy, but its frame is mostly hollow and kept together with foil, which I'm going to say, stick crystals on something a bit more solid. That's my first thing that I don't like about this story. Yeah. And another thing was, it was talked about being a Van Gogh chair or Van Gogh chair, right?
Yeah, I thought it was. Like Van Gogh chair.
The only thing to do with Van Gogh, right, is the fact that it was named after him as a tribute to one of his paintings of, and I quote, a simple chair. And if you look at the painting that it's based on, not even the same chair, like...
Not made of foil.
It's like calling something a Picasso tribute and just like getting a watch and just sticking crystals on it.
That's outrageous. What's the point then?
But what I liked about it is the BBC, normally pretty neutral in the reporting, and it's kind of like your Guardians that are a bit more sassy, or the kind of like, you know, the Sun or Daily Star. But the BBC in their reporting, they clearly feel similarly about this stupid Van Gogh chair, because they got a bit sassy in their article, because it said Bolla's piece is somewhat priceless in that the museum declined to provide an estimate of its value when asked by the BBC. So they're basically saying they won't tell us how much it's worth. So it's priceless. And I think that kind of sass is the stuff that I love.
Finally, it's time for round three, the missing words round. I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week, and you just need to fill in the missing words. First up, Mark Zuckerberg to introduce what as a new feature on WhatsApp?
Ways to block your uncle's terrible memes.
That would be amazing. Actually, not for me, because I'm reaching that point in my life.
Kind of more harrowing AI. I don't know. They've already put it in every single possible facet that you can use a WhatsApp on.
Side note, I had a conversation with the WhatsApp AI bot trying to ask it to take WhatsApp AI off of my phone.
You went straight to the source. You went straight to the bot.
You were like, can you kill yourself?
Did it work?
No, it didn't work. It's still there.
No, it's too clever. It's become too sentient.
True.
It's actually Mark Zuckerberg to introduce advertising as a new feature on WhatsApp. So the final bastion of squeezing money out of people. So, you know, can't be like, oh, can you come and meet me? There's a guy following me. You have to watch like a 30-second like video from like Zipcar or something.
Wow.
Next, TikTok crypto trader freed by kidnappers after what?
After setting sail to the Middle East.
Very good.
After he starts talking about cryptocurrency.
He starts trying to... So it's a pyramid. And you start at the bottom.
Yeah. After they realise all his money is in Trump coin.
You're so close. I think.
Oh, really? Oh,
you're so close. I'm going to give it to you. Go on.
He's basically worth nothing, essentially. Is that it? Or Melania coin.
TikTok crypto trader freed by kidnappers after they realised he was broke. So this took place in northern France. This guy making a big deal about all his crypto trades and how well he was doing. He got kidnapped, and when they demanded all his crypto money, so they demanded like 50,000 euros from him. He was forced to reveal that he actually didn't have any, and what he did have was worthless. So, so he just had to let him go.
I mean, that's pretty bad if that happened to you, right? The whole scenario is pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then you get released, but then they report it in the papers as well.
And then finally, controversial new plans will see Scots send what to England?
Middle class stand-ups.
Oh.
That's an Edinburgh Fringe take.
Turning it around on us.
I like it. Yeah, send them all back. They can't afford the train home.
Yeah.
Letters of complaint about Jack's Scottish accent last week. Do you remember when you did that, Jack?
Did I do a Scottish accent?
You did. You were doing an impression of Gordon Brown.
It was hard to tell, but you did do one.
I can't believe you'd say such a thing.
Any more for anyone? Everyone's stunned in silence. Controversial new plans will see Scots send 100 truckloads of rubbish a day to England. So not far off with the comedians. So this is New Scotland's banning black bin bags from landfill. And this is coming into effect.
Get the Pope bin bags in there.
I put it on Insta and a number of people have said, please buy this item. So I'll bring it on the pod next week.
I would say it might be controversial for Scotland to only have Catholic bin bags.
Yeah. We'd have to have some King Charles ones as well.
Oh, jeez.
What if you were Catholic, you'd want the Charles bin bag?
Oh, good question. It's a minefield.
It's a minefield. Scotland doesn't have enough incinerators to meet current demands. So they're going to, for a while, they're going to be sending their rubbish to England, which I sort of thought they did every 4 years with the SNP. But there you go. We posted this missing word on our social media channels, and congratulations to SEMEX on Instagram, who made us laugh with their response when they said, controversial new plans will see Scots send thoughts and prayers to England.
Very good.
Usually around the World Cup. Or England losing to Senegal. Take your pick. So follow Have I Got News For You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing words round when we post another one next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode.
Bye.
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 See you later, you nerds.
Whoa, what a huge claim.
I accept it.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.